Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9 Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Origin of Wealth by Eric D. Bienhocker challenges the traditional view of economics as a tidy, equilibrium-seeking machine and replaces it with a more realistic picture of an evolving, complex system. Drawing on ideas associated with complexity science, evolutionary thinking, and modern computing, the book explains wealth as something that emerges from experimentation, selection, learning, and the accumulation of useful knowledge. Rather than treating firms and consumers as perfectly rational actors, it highlights how real people and organizations adapt with limited information, imperfect incentives, and changing environments. Bienhocker connects these ideas to practical questions leaders face: how innovation happens, why some industries reshape quickly while others stagnate, and what policies and institutions help societies prosper over time. The result is an accessible framework that links business strategy, technological change, and social outcomes, offering readers a way to make sense of economic turbulence and opportunity without relying on oversimplified models. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, economies as complex adaptive systems. A core theme is that economies behave less like clockwork and more like living ecosystems. Instead of converging neatly toward stable equilibrium, markets and industries continuously adapt as technologies shift, competitors respond, and consumer preferences evolve. This perspective emphasizes interactions among many agents, feedback loops, and non-linearity, where small changes can sometimes trigger large consequences. Bienhocker uses the complexity lens to explain why forecasting is hard, why unintended consequences are common, and why simplistic policy levers often disappoint. In complex systems, patterns such as booms, busts, clustering of industries, and sudden disruptions can arise endogenously rather than from a single outside shock. For business readers, this reframes strategy as a process of ongoing adaptation, scanning the environment, running experiments, and building organizations that can sense and respond quickly. For society, it suggests that economic resilience depends on institutions that can cope with uncertainty, allow variation, and correct errors. The topic grounds the book in a modern scientific worldview, positioning economics closer to biology and computer science than to purely mechanical physics metaphors. Secondly, wealth as accumulated knowledge and design. The book argues that wealth is fundamentally tied to the creation and accumulation of knowledge, not merely the circulation of money. Products and services can be viewed as designs that encode information about how to transform inputs into valuable outputs. Over time, societies become richer by discovering better designs, improving processes, and organizing production more effectively. This connects growth to innovation, learning, and the spread of know-how across people and institutions. It also highlights that knowledge is not just scientific breakthroughs. It includes operational methods, managerial practices, logistics, marketing insights, and platform architectures. Seeing wealth this way helps reconcile why some resource-poor places become prosperous while resource-rich regions can stagnate. It also clarifies why education, research, infrastructure, and open networks can have outsized long-term returns. For business, the implication is that competitive advantage often rests on building capabilities to generate, combine, and protect useful knowledge while still benefiting from broader ecosystems of partners and communities. For policymakers, it shifts attention toward the conditions that support experimentation, diffusion, and the formation of high-quality institutions that preserve and expand productive knowledge. Thirdly, evolutionary competition, variation, and selection in markets. Bienhocker presents markets as evolutionary arenas where ideas compete. Firms generate variations through new products, business models, and operational approaches. Markets then select among these variations based on performance, consumer adoption, and profitability. Successful designs replicate through scaling, imitation, and investment, while unsuccessful ones shrink or disappear. This evolutionary framing helps explain why progress is uneven, why industries experience periods of incremental improvement punctuated by sudden leaps, and why competition is as much about learning speed as it is about current market share. It also highlights the importance of diversity in approaches, because variation increases the chances that someone discovers a superior solution. In business terms, the message is to treat strategy as a portfolio of bets, run disciplined experiments, measure outcomes, and rapidly reallocate resources toward what works. The evolutionary view also cautions against over-optimizing a single plan in a changing environment, since adaptability can matter more than efficiency. At the societal level, it argues that healthy capitalism requires both creation and destruction, with mechanisms that allow entry, exit, and reconfiguration, while also managing the social costs of transition. Fourthly, bounded rationality and agent-based modeling. Traditional economic models often assume highly rational agents with perfect foresight or stable preferences. The book instead emphasizes bounded rationality. Individuals and firms operate with limited information, limited computing power, and imperfect incentives. They rely on heuristics, rules of thumb, and social learning, which can generate realistic patterns such as herding, bubbles, and persistent inefficiencies. To study such behavior, Beinhacker discusses the value of simulation approaches, especially agent-based models that represent many interacting decision makers and allow macro patterns to emerge from micro behavior. This shift matters because it opens a practical toolkit for exploring scenarios that are analytically intractable in standard models. For business, these ideas support using data, experimentation, and iterative learning rather than relying solely on forecasts or static plans. For policy, they suggest that regulation and market design should anticipate behavioral responses, strategic gaming, and feedback effects across networks. The broader takeaway is methodological. To understand modern economies, one must combine theory with computation, empirical testing, and an appreciation of how real decision makers behave under uncertainty. Lastly, implications for management, policy, and social outcomes. The framework leads to concrete implications about how organizations and societies can foster prosperity. For managers, it favors building adaptive capabilities, decentralized decision-making where appropriate, rapid feedback loops, cultures that reward learning, and structures that make experimentation cheap and failure informative. Innovation becomes a managed evolutionary process, not a one-time creative act. For policymakers, the book suggests focusing on the rules of the game that shape long-run knowledge creation. Property rights balanced with diffusion, competition policy that prevents stagnation, education and research systems that raise the rate of useful discovery, and safety nets that make creative destruction politically and morally sustainable. It also points to the dangers of institutional capture and fragile financial systems, where feedback loops can amplify risk. On the social side, the book encourages thinking about prosperity as a dynamic process that can be strengthened or weakened by governance quality, trust, and networks of collaboration. The topic brings the argument back to the real world. Complexity and evolution are not abstract concepts. They are guides for designing organizations, markets, and policies that are robust in the face of change and that translate innovation into broad-based improvements in living standards. In conclusion, this book suits business leaders, entrepreneurs, investors, economists, policymakers, and curious readers who want a more realistic map of how modern economies actually behave. It is especially valuable for anyone frustrated by explanations that assume perfect rationality or stable equilibrium while real markets look turbulent, innovative, and sometimes fragile. By reframing wealth as the growth of useful knowledge within a complex adaptive system, the book can benefit a reader's life by improving decision-making under uncertainty. It encourages practical habits such as experimentation, learning from feedback, and building resilient strategies rather than betting everything on a single forecast. It also helps readers interpret economic news with better mental models, recognizing feedback loops, evolutionary competition, and the role of institutions in shaping outcomes. Compared with many popular economics titles, it stands out by connecting theory to complexity science and by translating those ideas into implications for management and public policy. Instead of offering one simple lever, it provides an integrative framework that explains innovation, growth, and instability together, making it a worthwhile purchase for readers seeking depth without losing relevance to real-world choices. If you would like to support Eric D. Beinhacker, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.